Well, welcome to whomever joined us. I'm teaching. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, Hebrews 6. Perfection is the Greek word completion. It has nothing to do with a rod of measurement. It has to do with growth, maturity, completion. It means that you start something and you carry it forward to its ending. It's like he said earlier in this book of Hebrews, you're God's house. If you keep doing, in essence, what you started out to do. Remain steadfast in that profession that started you. A declaration of faith, with the heart man believeth, the mouth declaration is made. You started out and you got saved by believing God in his promise to save you. You offered nothing, you brought nothing but yourself, and claimed his promise that if you had trusted him, he'd put his life in you, put your sins on Christ, put you in Christ eternally, and you would stay there. Now, once you get on that track, it's like a freeway. Don't jump the center divider and invite a head on. Don't drive in the ditch. Finish the trip. Now, with that being said, leaving therefore the principles of the doctrine of Christ, you know, that's the on-ramp. You freeway drivers ought to figure that out. Christianity, Paul didn't have some of the illustrations I have. He could have wished he had preaching in my day. That's the on-ramp. It's like flying an airplane. You reach a certain stage they call V2. You're going too fast to stop, not fast enough to fly, so you just keep going, friend. And go airborne. And when you breathe a sigh of relief and you're 400 feet off the ground, don't decide you want to be a submarine. That's what he's saying here. Leaving, therefore, the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go and finish what we started. Not going back again. Well, you know, I'm not too sure that I drove exactly right when I went on that freeway. So just stop, put it in reverse and back, clear off to the side street so you can check your entrance again. You're on it, damn it. Rev the engine and go. Quit complicating Christianity. It starts with faith, it continues with faith, it finishes with faith. Don't take this text out of context and try to teach some new doctrine with it. He's already had 5 chapters tell you what he's talking about. And the primary example to date are the children of Israel. 3 times God said, I'm calling you out of Egypt and I'm taking you to the land of Canaanites, Perizzites, and Jebusites. Well, he parted the Red Sea to get them started. If it had any, that lick of sense that a known God that could start them that way could finish them. But every little test, they wanted to throw it in reverse. Dream about leeks and garlics and onions down in Egypt. And considering what Ezekiel told on them about over in the 23rd chapter, I think they probably had some other things in mind down in Egypt too. They wanted to go back to playing. God had called them out. Now, they had it clear what the land was, and they just continued to keep God under test, throw their machine in reverse, and he finally got some magic, I'm going to kill a whole lot of you and start over somebody else. He did. Just kill them. That's the context. Now, he says, in the ending of the 5th chapter, you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught again. You're slopping around the milk bucket when you ought to be eating meat. And why don't you just leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ? Let us go on down the road. Let's get going. You know, leave these people that are hung up on freeway entrances. I mean, they've even set up little old instruction centers. Their whole reason for being is to teach you how to get on a freeway. It doesn't matter if you get killed after you get there. Just how to get on a freeway. They got different formulas. They got how to back on, how to go on sideways, how to go on front ways. The whole purpose is to get you on the freeway. What the hell do I do next? Just get on the freeway, friend. How do you get on the freeway? Well, you start out by repentance from dead works. Now, there's a freeway out here called San Diego Freeway, and it has a long road alongside of it called Sepulveda Boulevard. You go out there tonight. I'm going to give you a spiritual exercise tonight. You spend the whole afternoon, you people in Los Angeles, and all night tonight, and try to get on that freeway by staying on Sepulveda. Just try it. I don't care if you change the name. Just go turn all the signs around if you don't get arrested. Put up paper signs on every telephone post. You think this is Sepulveda, but it's 405. Drive slow, drive fast, back up, get yourself killed. You ain't going to get on the freeway until you turn on the entrance ramp. And the turn signal starts with repentance from dead works. And don't leave a wrecking crew behind you to pick up all the concrete off of the road called Sepulveda and relay it on 405. They're different roads. That's what he's saying. The first step of Christianity is repentance from dead works. Works won't save. That's Babylon's method. That's the world's method. I don't care who in God's name you find in this world, if he's a mafia gangster, he will tell you that he really thinks ultimately where you end up in eternity is going to depend on whether or not you're good or bad. No. You can be as goody two shoes, and as mean as a dog at its meanest, junkyard style. You're not going to end up where faithers go. God has gifted salvation to faithers. He's the boss. He decided who he wants to spend eternity with. Not whiners. Not self-righteous show-offers. He wants faithers. And the highway to heaven begins with repentance from dead works. And I submit what I said earlier. The church is still trying to get a big population performing dead works. You got that? Get it behind you. They're wrong. There ain't no way they're ever going to change. Get out of them. They've been done over in the tent too many times by Abram, and all that they can produce is Ishmaels. Baptisms. Just get yourself dunked, sprinkled or otherwise. I mean, you know, my dad and I have faced situations where someone comes to God on deathbed and they want to be baptized, they want to do something to claim the promise of God. Do you think I want to deny them a sprinkling? The principle is a testimonial of obedience. We know how Jesus did it because the very word means to immerse, but the principle is more important than the act. Don't elevate the form over the substance. We know why the church baptizes babies. They don't trust God enough to look into the heart of the child and recognize the truth of what Jesus said when he said, except you become as a child, you can't make it in. There's nothing on earth more trusting than a child. We ruin the child. You have any trouble making a child believe in God? Just burn over grown-ups. God will take care of the child who knows the heart. We're going to give the gift of salvation to faithers, children, the first candidate. The most trusting people in the world. But if you don't believe it, and you want to go after the medieval doctrine, the church saves instead of God saving, then you baptize them in the church. And the church gives the child a special dispensation. No matter what he does. He's in the church. Well, baptism was never to put you in the church.
Baptism was a testimonial of the saving work of God. And it can only be a meaningful act when it's done as an act of faith. That's why I tell people that did it by ritual and with ignorance, you'll do it over someday. I got a problem now. I don't think there's a street long enough to hold the line of people we got waiting to be baptized. But we're going to start it. You can say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I've done everything I've ever said yet. It just took me a little time. But it's a beginning concept. The real baptism that counts is the one the Holy Spirit does, baptizing you into the body of Christ instantly as God's promised work when you faith. That's why it says doctrine of baptisms, plural. There's a baptism that is an obedient act to claim the sacramental value that when you act in faith to follow the obedient act of Christ that testifies to your immersion of yourself and offering of yourself to be the habitation of God, you're acting on a promise, and that in itself becomes a faith act. And that starts the chain reaction of the promised work of the Holy Spirit to baptize you into the body of Christ. Laying on of hands. What in the world is that? Well, they shall hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's one of them. An ordination, the laying on of hands. I think it's probably the most important thing Oral Roberts ever contributed in all of his ministry is the idea of the point of contact. That we can, by hanging our body in some act, claim in a material, manifested world, by that action, a promise that God has given. He's been kind enough to tell us that there are certain things we can do down here that are the trigger that release His work. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation is made. That very first step of making your tongue conform to a promise of God in itself is a trigger that turns God loose to activate the promise. Laying on of hands is just one of those. I believe in laying on of hands. I believe the promise, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Anointing with oil. But those are beginning things. There are ways in which we activate faith as I've already defined it. It's a hanging of the body on what the mind believes and the heart responds to, specifically the hanging of the body on a promise of God that the mind believes and the heart has confidence in because of God's proven performance to carry out His word. Anytime you find a promise of God related to the laying on of hands, then activate it. It just becomes one of those simple, childlike, very specific manifestation kinds of acts of faith that is symbolic of a myriad number of other ways we claim God's promise. Lay hands on your money and give it to God. Though I really do not think that that's what this verse means, because laying on of hands is very specific and is one of those benefits that's available to us through those that God has set in the church. Men and women of faith that can claim God's promise and activate it. You can lay hands on telephone. I don't quarrel with Oral Roberts in the business that he taught of the point of contact that enables us to have a foci of our faith. I think it's a God-given revelation God gave him. His baby. It was treated like it was something that was earth-shaking. It's still diaper training. No big deal. Right now there are people running around acting like laying on of hands is the most advanced form of Christianity. It's like learning to brush your teeth. Ain't no big deal. You can do it right there at home. You don't need Oral Roberts or his son or anybody else to lay their hand on some protected part or delicate part of your body and get a healing. Do it yourself. Just say in the name of Jesus, I command this sickness to go. You say, well, I've tried it. It didn't go. Keep doing it. Just press on. Start something. Finish it. I mean, wake up after you've died and enter heaven, be so habituated to doing it that the first few steps in heaven, you're still doing it. Then all of a sudden you discover it's happened, got a new body. Quit making big deals out of this. There are people who drive 10,000 miles to see somebody lay hands on them. That's like having a great big convention center to change diapers. I mean, I want a church that's growing. I mean, a baby factory I ain't wanting to produce. Resurrection of the dead. That's so basic to Christianity. Without that, our faith is vain. That's the starting point of Christian faith, believing in resurrection. Well, I'm not too sure, you know, about... Look, it starts there. Paul ends his life saying death is the beginning point. Everything gets ready for it. You can't get your head into the eternal. You ain't even started, friend. You're still tied with an umbilical cord. You're still filling your diapers. You're still drooling. You're still running snot. You're still whining. You're still an ugly little lizard. I'm tired of churches that can't get the eternal in them. That's why I have decided to bite the bullet, and some places that just aren't going to receive it, they just got bad soil. Eternal judgment. Some people bogged down for centuries delving around those mysteries. Jesus said, I set before you two ways, ways of life, way of death. You say, you believe in eternal burning hell? Hell, I don't know. Nobody else knows. Jesus never ever talked about hell the way we talk about it. We turned it into a mystery. He used different words. He saw a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem called Gehenna. Everybody knew what it was. Nobody ever spiritualized on it until eventually it was taken and made the symbol of the departed place of the damned. Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, all kinds of words. It's really baby stuff again. Whatever the hell hell is, it ain't very good. And the worst thing about it is you're apart from God. I saw people in a Mexican earthquake what it's like to spend 96 hours in a dark hole. You know, they just make too much over, you know. Do they burn? How do they not burn? I told you a joke one Sunday, you know. Coffee breaks over, everybody on your head. Whatever hell is, it's bad. But there is an eternal judgment. Well, are you going to rule out that God may do something down through eternity and give people another chance? I ain't ruling anything out. I just don't want 1 hour in the place. What about the annihilation of the damned? That one's out. That's baby food, starting point, freeway, necessary, encasement in it. The Christian message teaches an eternal, immortal, individual, living being. Whatever name you want to put on it, you is and you is forevermore, and you've got a little bit of time down here to prepare for the next one. That's baby. You know, I see some people put out on the sign, where is hell and what is its nature? Who cares? Who gives a damn? I ain't going there. I don't even want to know much of the details. I ain't interested. I ain't going there. Or I get hung up on the place. That was just a loud noise. That's all, baby. Repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. That's the starting point. You turn from dead works as a means of salvation to faith toward God. Baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, that's the beginning point. That's the foundation stones. You don't have to spend much time on them. Quit worrying about them. I can tell you the only way you can be saved is faith toward God. Baptisms, get it done. What's the big deal? Just do what you know. If you didn't understand when you first did it, do it again. If you're worrying about getting baptized, go get in the bathtub and squat down in it and ask your husband or your wife to just push you on down and come back up again. Name Jesus. Don't make big deals out of baby stuff. I mean, you can learn to tie fancy ship knots.
for the rest of your life and show off how good you are at tying those little ends on the diapers? Quit messing around with that level. Baptism is a testimonial of faith and is a work of the Holy Spirit. And the first chance you get to testify to the world and the baptismal service we have, and we televise it, get in line. But it's baby stuff. It's not supposed to divide churches and keep us from moving. I ain't going another inch till I can get this settled. Well, don't. Just don't. Stay where you're at. I mean, you know, just sit by the water till you die, waiting for somebody to push you in. I'm telling you, if I couldn't do any other way, I'd go in the bathroom and say, I'm going to baptize myself in Jesus' name, get a whole handful of water and throw it in my face in Jesus' name and go right on until I could find somebody to do it right. Quit making big deals out of nothing. Beginning points. Never heard of such a thing. It sounds sacrilegious. Baptism is an act of obedient faith in which you testify to an inner commitment, and because God said that you will die, this old nature will be buried and is expected to go away, and you're telling the world, the devil and God, I do not want this dying self to rule me. I want to rise to walk in newness of life. That testimonial is just one little beginning claiming of faith. Some people make baptism save you. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Just gets you wet. The faith attached to the hanging of the body on the act of obedient claiming of a promise, that produces the saving work. Don't elevate form over substance. There are tens of thousands of preachers wish they had the guts to say it, but they'd be kicked out of their church if they did. Isn't that important? Sure, it's important. But not enough to bog you down. Laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, that's all beginning. Now, this will we do. God permit, he makes a declaration of faith. We're going to go on to completion. Here's the one, people, they get hung up on this verse, they can't even read the rest of the book. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Unpardonable sin. Unpardonable sin. Unpardonable sin. The devil has a way of magnifying those words out of context, and you don't hear another thing before or after this verse. Have I ever slipped? Yeah. Don't want my wife to know it, but I did. Don't want my husband to know it, but I did. Don't want my pastor to know it, but I did. I remember that moment when I saw that other person drive up in that Rolls Royce, and I coveted for just a second. Unpardonable sin. I got mad once. I hated that fella. Unpardonable sin. I didn't pay tithe for 1 week. If there's anything that is, that's it. Unpardonable sin. I remember when I was 9 years old, I took a puff on a cigarette on a street corner. Possible to renew them again unto repentance,
seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Want me to continue? On this unpardonable sin. Well, you get on a telephone and tell me you want me to. Otherwise, I won't. I'll just leave you right here. Unpardonable sin. Better to go back to the foundations. Never get this far. Unpardonable sin. Now, I want to tell you, the first context, I'll give you a hint, is to go from faith toward God and repentance from dead works back into dead works because some Christian or legalistic preacher pushed you that direction. That's included here. How many of you have ever been coerced into behavioral dead works after you came to God? Unpardonable sin. You want to continue? You're on phone?